Before we get too far into the Fly Racing Racer X podcast, Race Tech's on Volvo this as well. Tell them you listen to Pulp to get a discount. They just released a new Gold Valve combo kit, including compression, mid-valve, and rebound for Yamaha and Kawi 85s and Super Minis, as well as the YZ65. The older style only had compression, but these have mid-valve and rebound added as well. The kit transforms the fork and provides a high-performance feel to the front end. Riders will love it. Racetech.com. Check out the new Gold Valve for the Super Minis and 85s. Tell me, listen to Pulp, get a deal. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Here we are in the Gold Coast in Australia. It's round three of World Supercross. Thank you to Fly Racing for making this podcast happen. Code PULPMX to save. Also, thank you to Renthal Motorsport, Maxxis, and Brunt Workwear, which we'll tell more about later on. But for now, we are here with the World Supercross CEO, Tom Burwell. What's up, Tom? How are you, man?
Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having us here. It's cool. Round three. Series is just over halfway. So far... Argentina, Vancouver, here we are. Pros for you. What are you thinking of this? It's almost a World Supercross reset now. We're in year two of that, I would say. Would fair to say?
Yeah, I think... what would I say? I think a fair summary is the four races that took place last year, or the four races across the three venues. I spoke at the time about just doing what we said we were going to do, which was ultimately deliver four races. Mm-hmm. It was very, very local event-based. I think the 12 months that we've now been on is being tried to be really clear of who we are and what we are, not just on race day itself, but, you know, digital IP, what does content mean, short form, long form, the rebrand, how does that work, how do we speak to different audiences? So for me, it's black and white. Like, the reset has happened, and now when I speak to our stakeholders, there's a clear journey about where we're going.
Okay. And stakeholders have been on board, happy, everybody?
Look, yep. In general, yep. You know, we're in a really great place with all of those that are our stakeholders, and you know, our position remains and always will be, we want to be complementary to the dirt bike ecosystem, and I'm never going to stand down from that. We don't want to be overtly disruptive and hurting other people's businesses, and I don't think we need to be.
So I spoke to you last year. We did a, I think it was just a podcast. I don't know if it was Zoom, but I spoke to you last year. You were new to the sport.
Sure.
And stepping into it, coming from a racing background, of course. But what's taking you by surprise, teams, riders, that kind of stuff about our sport?
I think professional athletes are professional athletes. Yeah. Nothing will really surprise me there. There's nuances in I think some of them are more educated in the levels of expectations that you have and the way you need to operate as an athlete off the track. You know, how are we all creating a commercial ecosystem that we can all thrive in? And there's been some education there. I think with our teams, that's a fair surmise as well. We've obviously rebuilt the Geneva Agreement, which is our team agreement, about how there is, you know, sets of rights and expectations that each of us offers the other business partner. I think there is, you know, we've employed somebody directly to support the teams in understanding the role they play in that space. So, but I think on a positive front is that this, and look, I don't think this necessarily surprised me, but I didn't know it, is just how amazing this audience is, how rabid the fan bases are in different places around the world. And also, in many ways, how underserviced they are in certain areas, which then kind of gives me the opportunity to do what we want to do in World Supercross.
Right. Speaking of the liaison, Thomas Covington stepped in. Kurt's sure. out. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, Kurt's a one-and-done kind of guy. He's helped stick it on a little bit. But and then Thomas Covington, new role for him. So how's that been? And
yeah,
that?
And actually, funny enough, the person I mentioned about kind of looking after the teams commercially is neither of those
oh,
guys.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
It's
I
all right.
That's where you were going.
No, but
yeah,
actually,
yeah.
It's a really good yeah. point, right? So, you know, Thomas is our director of racing, and that's ultimately the role that Kurt played. Kurt's played an amazing role mm-hmm. over the last 2 years as we went from the I suppose, Evolution 1, Version 1 of World Supercross bridging to, if you say, the reset's taken place, we're yeah. now Version 2, and you needed somebody that had got this great racing legacy, amazing relationships with riders, manufacturers, teams, was also shrewd, been there, done
yeah,
that,
yeah,
like
yeah.
all those great things. And I think Tom is almost a new iteration of that. He's younger, he's slightly more plugged into the way generations might talk about content in different ways. Mm-hmm. He's got different relationships with riders. I see him being very much part of the future of this organization, which is we want to be, you know, culturally relevant, talking to people in the right way, and that goes for riders and teams as much as it does fans.
Yep, right. So over the years, I went to the first iteration, went to Vancouver last year. Obviously, I know some of the team principals involved. Not everybody's been stoked with the wildcard additions.
Sure.
You've almost taken it to bigger and better levels this year with Deegan and Tomac and, you know, that way. What's been like, you know, having a wildcard here is great because Deegan making his debut got a lot of eyeballs and Eli Tomac making his KTM debut was a real awesome thing for you. But how is it with your team partners and bringing guys like that in? Because I've sensed, I don't want to say unhappiness, but I've sensed a little like, I don't like it.
Sure. We're 11 races into the history of World Supercross. Mm-hmm. We're six into this. We're a startup.
Yeah.
We're not where we are today, where we're going. But there are things that we need to do to make sure that we're able to get to where we're going. And some of those things are we need to create scarcity and things that have never happened before so that fans come through the door.
Mm-hmm.
That's one area that wildcards have given us. Deegan on 450, time
yep.
out there,
yep.
the strongest ever lineup that's ever taken place in a Supercross event in Australia, right? You go through those three, and then you get to the next two rounds where everything is about the World Championships,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're going into those final two rounds. It's about who's going to win our World Championships. I think... That's kind of via a lens of riders. The reality is also we've never supported teams more than we've supported today.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing so in a slightly different way to how we've done historically, which is that they have a set of rights and they have to actually deliver against certain things. We've done a lot of research with Kurt and Tom on the strength of our rider lineup outside of wildcards. And comparing that to previous years and also comparing that to other things around
mm-hmm.
the world, irrespective of wildcards, this is the strongest lineup that we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So we've taken those steps forward. Long term, do I want to have as many wildcards as we currently do? No.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
But we've built a team model, which means that if, let's say, Justin Cooper comes through the door, has a fantastic experience in Argentina and Vancouver, and then he's open to having conversations about joining the series full time.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be a bridge to that.
Mm-hmm.
He was never going to go from zero to a full season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also using wild cards for building relationships
yeah.
and trust
sure.
to them understand what WSX is.
Yeah.
So I personally... I'm really believing in this year's strategy around that. You'll see a version of that moving forwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the long-term
yep.
position.
Argentina looked like a good crowd, smaller stadium, but looked like pretty much
sold out.
Vancouver, huge stadium. Still, I was there last year. Looked about the same.
About the same, correct.
Okay, and then for tonight, what are we expecting?
We're sold out.
Okay, so you've been happy with that?
With the two races, the three
yeah.
sold out.
Yeah, not too bad. The Eli showing up is a huge deal for you guys. There's been so much consternation on the OEM side about supporting this series for all the political reasons that we
sure.
know. But Eli is here on a factory KTM with Ian Harrison and Carlos, and, you know, like,
yeah.
this is a great thing. I don't know when the deal was done with Eli, but did you get a sense of KTM being okay with this, or like...
This was only ever done with a sense of a context of KTM.
Yeah, okay.
It was never a... It was, yep. He never moved to KTM with this deal already done.
Yeah.
I think I'll talk about the manufacturers as a whole
because okay,
I think
yeah.
it's fair. Like you're right, there has been some challenges. I remain absolute in my position that a successful Supercross international series, World Supercross Championships, that moves around the world, and I say successful, driving eyeballs for all involved, mm-hmm. can only be a good thing for the sale of bikes, only be a good thing for ultimately building eyeballs in the domestic series that we already know
yeah.
are great.
Yeah.
And we need to prove that we're not combative and causing problems for the ecosystem that's been built for a long time. And I think we've done that over the last 18 to 20 months in that we've just been consistent.
Yeah. Well, I think KTM even being here that's shows what I mean. Something. Yeah.
So that consistency is as such that the relationships are better. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that they're sitting here now and we've got business partnerships in the future yet or any of those
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
Of course
yeah.
not. But there are green shoots across many. And that goes to, you know, Star. You know, Star and Star Yamaha being as supportive as they are to see both wild cards and full-time guys here, mm-hmm. That wouldn't have happened in quite as easy a way in the past. We've obviously building this relationship with KTM, which is very, very early doors, and I'm really grateful for their support. And that will continue with others. And
yep.
yeah, I know the role we play, and we'll just keep chipping away because I think we can be positive.
One of the things you told me last year was the eventual plan is to go in the summer
sure.
against the Nationals, make it a longer series and, you know, take it worldwide. Still the plan?
I think the words I used last year were that we recognize what our calendar window is, where we've got a level of kind of comfort, which is off-season Q4, however we
yeah.
want to call it.
Yeah.
There aren't enough weeks in that window for me to build a series that is financially viable.
Okay.
So we know that when I'm big enough and strong enough, I have to come out of that window. But I will do that under the narrative of remaining complimentary to others, which is that I'm going to be as respectful as I can be for dates, really important races mm-hmm. that are taking place
yeah.
in different places. I'm not going to go and say, hey, suddenly we're on these dates.
Yeah.
But absolutely, the reality is, and this is coming from an organization that owns an English Premier League football team,
mm-hmm.
stadiums are only available in the summer.
Yeah.
Because their soccer are being played on them in the winter.
Right, right.
So the reality, if you want to race in Europe,
yep.
you need to be racing in the summer. And clearly that will be in our future.
Would this be something you would have a chance to talk to the powers that be about? Like, or do you care?
Who are the powers that be?
MX Sports, Feld, and be like, hey, this is why we're doing this. Stadium availability, they can relate to that. This is what we want to do. We want to work with you on dates. There are some off weekends in the Nationals. We want to. Is that something at all? Or is it just like, hey, we're going to do this for the reasons you mentioned, and that's it?
I would always have those conversations.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I mean, I have no right to not do.
Yeah.
But I think they're valid with MXGP as well.
Yeah. 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 Right, yeah. Also. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. For sure.
So, you know, one, we continue to be of a view that we won't go anywhere near the SX season at the beginning of the year. We'll never race in SMX window.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll never rest on MX Evolutions weekend. So that gives us some clear windows of when we can, which is back end of the season, and then mm-hmm. we've got to be respectful about how we come
yep.
into the summer.
Yep.
We know we don't want to race on some of those really big weekends and create
yeah.
challenge of what that comes with.
Yeah, I just think of some of the partners that you have where they're like racing in America or in Europe, and how are they going to do that?
Yeah, and we need to work out how to integrate. I suppose I do that, and I want to have those conversations, but I want to have those conversations as organizations that both have the right to be at that table.
Yep.
And I believe that we will do that in a complementary way and we'll come to that table as such. And, you know, as I've said previously, if those conversations are open to be had, absolutely we'll
yeah.
have them, because the sport is better off, even from an eyeballs point of view, right?
Yeah.
So irrespective
sure.
of our partners,
yeah.
we
yeah.
don't want to be splitting eyeballs down the
no.
middle,
I mean,
because
the
there aren't enough.
The only reason I went to Cardiff or Vancouver sure. or here is because it's an off-season
yeah,
of America,
course.
Right?
Of course.
And this is great racing,
yeah,
so let's
great.
Follow it, right?
Yeah, great.
Speaking of teams, are you open to accepting more teams? Is it capped? We noticed Craig Dack left, and he said just because of the conflicts, you know, not because of anything that you guys did, just the conflicts of the series. Where do you stand with the number of teams and applications and all of that?
So I've got... let's call it two really viable conversations continuing
mm-hmm.
in the same way that we had with Stark about expansion teams. You have to buy into the series now,
right.
and there's an expansion value that you need to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those conversations are in a really great place. The reality is that eight teams is the natural move first before we even begin to entertain any further growth, just because of what
yeah.
happens in the gate.
Yep.
So absolutely, I would expect eight teams to be on track next year. As to Craig, I... great relationship with Craig.
Mm-hmm.
There's a touch more to it than that.
Okay.
But Craig and I's phone will always be on to one another. He played an enormous role in those first few years. But as is the case with Garibaldi and others, mm-hmm. that, you know, there was a moment in time when it was not the appropriate time because the series was where the series was.
Yeah.
Unlike previous situations where teams left on their own undertaking,
yeah.
with Craig it was very much more mutual.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Craig and others, a little frustrated with the scheduling of this event versus the Melbourne and sure. Adelaide. Again, you guys got to do what you got to do, but... you're sold out, so I guess it's fine on your end, but touchy situation there?
I think there's two bits to it. I think as a world championship, you have to, in the regions you're going into, you have to be really respectful for the local ecosystem, which I mean by that is participation, mm-hmm. people on bikes, people selling bikes, splitting eyeballs digitally, tickets, all of those things. And there's a slight nuance to today's weekend, which is that that particular event is a... support event at a supercars race where they've been paid a fee to go and take place down there, and the majority of fans, the 200,000 are walking through the door, are there to watch the V8s, right?
Yep.
So I think there's a nuance to today. What we wouldn't be doing is going up against a SX event standalone in a similar region.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really am committed to, and this goes for Australia and anywhere else in the world, is that when we're building our calendar, we do so respectfully, whilst also recognising we're a business that needs to make decisions mm-hmm. for ourselves.
Webb made a mention that there was an AusX compete clause in
sure.
the deal. Yeah,
of course.
Is that something you would do for other races, or just something around this weekend only, or is that a standard thing in a?
I can only talk on wildcards because they're the only people that are contracted to me. Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast with Tom Burwell. Good stuff indeed. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Use the code PULPMX to save. Cooper Webb, Dean Wilson, Justin Brayton, Chance Hymus, you know the names. Thank you to those guys. Renthal as well. Honda HRC, Factory Kawasaki, Factory KTM using Renthal products. They have now direct-to-consumer website. Thank you to Renthal for making things happen for us. Motorsport.com, go through the banner on PulpMX to help us out. That would be great. Great prices, free shipping on over $79, all of it. Really great prices, great products. Maxxis Tires on board with us as well. Great mountain bike tires. PRMX guys using it as well. Maxxis.com for more information. And finally, the Brunt Workwear, the Baron boot, the Omen boot. It is comfy right out of the box, takes no break-in time, and it's the boot of mechanics everywhere. Brunt Workwear, they make more than just boots, too. They have a whole bunch of clothing that works well for you to real working men wear Brunt Workwear. Use code PULPMX when you're checking out at bruntworkwear.com and save with those guys. And, try them out, please. Thank you. And, of course, Fly Racing, Renthal Maxxis, motorsport.com, Brunt Workwear. Thanks to Tom for this interview as well. And now we will carry it on. Thanks for listening. What do you think you need to work on? What would you like to do better?
Our live show is not good enough at the moment.
Okay.
A
lot of downtime. Is that what you're talking about?
No,
okay.
I'm talking about the entire entertainment product. The reality is that the windows that you have when racing is not taking place is the windows to imprint on who you are as a brand and how you produce content. We're 11 races into the history of World Supercross, 6 in my management, and we haven't quite got right what our unique product is.
Okay.
I think we take steps forward every week. I think this week's product is a fundamental. We went a complete rebuild this week after Vancouver.
Oh,
and I think
so
that will be
something new tonight.
This is something new tonight.
Yep.
I think we're much closer in cadence of racing. The 6 races, how they go against one another, how the length of those races look, what the length mm-hmm. of the final race is. I think our sporting product this year is way better than last year. Really pleased with that. We are still a long way away from what I believe is truly creating world-class content, short and long form, and the storylines around that. How do you have a brand like ours being relevant in January to May when SX is there?
Yeah. Well, tough to do.
Well, that's why we launched World Dirt Collective. World mm-hmm. Dirt Collective wraps its arms around all things dirt biking because we recognize that in the window we're currently
in. What is that?
In.
Sorry, I'm not familiar with
so
that.
So we have an entire digital channel which has got podcasts and no one knows that we're the guys behind it.
Okay.
But has been really, really successful.
Okay.
And we've done that because we've got to be year-round relevant.
Yeah.
And I think we've got a lot of experience across our multi-sport assets in building content and can put some money behind that. You know, if I give you some ideas about even just the way that our kind of content has moved forwards over the last this season to last season, Vancouver was the opening race of the weekend season last year. Yep. We had 2 million organic views across our digital channels. Nothing. Yep. Right. Buenos Aires this year, we had 17.5 million.
That's a Deegan effect.
We had 26 in Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Right, and that might be the Tomac event, but if we turn around and we're even better this weekend, the reality is that 17 is from 2, that 26 is from 3.
Yep. Yep.
We are producing better content and we understand how to talk audiences more. I still think we've got a long way to go on that.
Fantastic job in my eyes, of getting Eli Tomac debuting on a KTM and getting Hayden Deegan on a 450.
Sure.
I mean, just great job.
There was a bit of strategy behind
it. I'm sure it's a huge check. I'm sure.
No, it's not.
No?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Just the fact that they want to get some laps underneath them?
Yeah, 100%. Look, you know, there's a reality to that. And I think we've built great relationships with John Tomac and Bob Walker. Mm-hmm. And those relationships have started over 12 months ago in Eli's case. And with Bob the last 12 months. And Brian as well, of course.
Yeah. I'd love to see the emails with you and John.
Yeah.
He's a tough negotiator.
And I have huge respect for all of them. But we think we've got fair value. I think they've got fair value. We are not overpaying, and we're really strong on that, because you know the previous iterations of World Supercross had enormous contracts of people that were centrally contracted and then handed out to teams.
Yep.
Our new Geneva agreement has none of those things, so there's not a single season long rider that is contracted to the league. It doesn't make sense for season long riders to be centrally contracted. Yep. They should be with teams, and I'm really pleased with the nuance and the balance about that. To your question, we have so far to go.
Mm-hmm.
We have so far to go across all of these verticals, whether it's live show, whether it's content, whether it's merchandise, whether it's developing even our relationships with riders, how riders work within the off-season, manufacturers, all those things. But we've got to just tick things off box by box, whilst remembering that the journey that we're on and who we want to be and how we're different to MXGP and AMA, whilst also recognizing that they're the global leaders.
Mm-hmm. How many rounds would you, just down the road, not next year, how many rounds would you like?
I think that it's probably easier to speak on next year. We will announce a calendar relatively soon.
Okay.
I think the growth that we've had this year from sort of 4 races, 3 events to 5 locations this year is a similar sort of growth that you would see next year.
Okay.
I know where the maximum is. I feel like the maximum number is 10.
Okay.
I've seen sports try and grow past that. Operating them is very difficult. Internally, that's very challenging. We'll travel 50,000 miles this season across 5 continents. You extend that out, double it. Just the challenges that puts on teams.
Yep.
Both our riding teams and our own internal teams. And I think we're a number of years away from 10.
Yep.
So that probably gives you that pathway.
A bit of a blow for you guys to have Kenny leaving the series. Obviously, you know, he's been on board with this ride for a while now, even going back to the older guys. Kind of disappointed, are you?
I think, and I say this with great honesty, I've been around professional sport all my life from an athlete's and a rider's point of view. Ken Roczen is one of the most professional sportsmen that I've ever met.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
An unbelievable ambassador of this sport. I think it's incredibly lucky that Suzuki and these fans have a Kenny in their world.
Yeah.
He has been incredible for us over the last 3 or 4 years, and I'm very grateful for him and his agent Steve Astafin's support. This year, PMG and Ken were unable to come to an agreement. We moved away from the central contracting model, which has meant that we're in a situation that Kenny's here as a wild card and won't be racing after Australia.
So it's more on the pipes end of things with their structure.
Well, look, no, I think there's a reality to where we are today, which is that we no longer centrally contract riders.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And on that basis, now I'm really grateful after, the decision to no longer centrally contract riders, that Kenny still came as a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's once again evidence to him of just what an unbelievable guy he is. Just unbelievable guy. And I hope that in the future, that through the Geneva agreement and the support that we offer teams and the way that teams themselves are the guys that negotiate with all of these riders, that we may see Kenny in the future.
Right.
If we don't see him coming back as a season, then he's a double world champion and a world-class person, and I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, he's been a big part of the success of this over the whole time.
Well, but if he's a wild card rider, he's getting points right now. He's leading the points. So is that something that's changed?
Look, the reason I say wild card rider is obviously that he's not going on to Sweden.
Yeah, okay.
And that's what I mean by that. As in, he's not going to the championship.
Got it.
Rather than a wild card rider.
Got it. I love the fact you guys let Stark in. I think MX Sports should open their eyes a little bit and, you know, work with them to allow Stark at least on event classes and things like that. I've ridden one. They're awesome. A little bit of an issue at round one. We had to disqualify them. But what's it been like having them? What's it been like from the other teams? Maybe complaining. Mm-hmm. And then what's it been like with Seb and those guys?
I suppose the big thing is just, first of all, credit. And I know that there are stakeholders around the world that all guffaw at me saying this, but first of all, credit to the FIM this summer that worked so hard with Stark to develop the regulations that will make it
appropriate.
Like
in the French series.
The French series, but also we did testing throughout the summer in Barcelona and in France on how do we make the Stark...
For you guys.
For us guys. Specific for us, right? Yeah. And Kurt worked with that and Stark worked with that, and they were completely open and transparent around that, because when I presented this to all of our combustion teams at the beginning of the year, I said, all I care about is fair and equal racing.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, we need to put the parameters in place to ensure that we can have fair and equal racing.
Yeah.
If we can then do that, then bringing in a world-class organization that, one, buys an expansion team, two, then becomes an official sponsor of the series, and three, is a business that sits behind it, mm-hmm. arguably our first proper manufacturer that's joined the team as a factory,
true, right?
Is only a massive foot forward.
Yep.
Now, clearly, this is motorsport, and there is a paddock, and teams and riders will have different views to those. And my responsibility and the team's responsibility is to manage those stakeholders.
Yeah.
But I think what we recognize...
So you have been getting some pushback.
Less so now.
Okay.
We definitely had early in the year, right? And I think, actually, disqualification shows the regulations are strong. What we've got is a bike that they are learning their bike and learning how to be competitive, as any new team would be.
And I reached out to them after disqualifying, and they were, at least to me, they were open and honest about what happened.
Yeah.
Correct.
And I think those things actually, ironically, kind of help you with some of the relationships with some of the other teams. Speaking frankly, I've also had outreach from two other electric bike manufacturers to say, how do we buy our way onto the series?
Okay.
Now, Stark is a very different beast to they are, but it shows you the way the world might work and how our minds might be open in the future.
To my eyes, if you allow them in and they're dominating or, you know, really doing well, you adjust the rules. You know, like, it's just like a NASCAR or a supercar or whatever. Like, let's try this. Let's see how it goes.
Fair and equal racing, right?
Yeah, exactly, right?
If you use that as the North Star
and
the fair and equal racing and make sure that the riders and the bikes are X and then the riders can compete fairly.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I think in America, it comes down to they're not writing enough check or something. I don't know. I don't understand it because they're out there. They're selling. It's a positive company. They're not a fly-by-night.
Nope.
You know, let them in. At least let them in the vet classes.
Sure.
And, you know, whatever. So I don't quite understand that.
I, at the moment, love the fact that we are one of the only motorsports in the world that can talk about who's going to win this weekend, electric versus combustion.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you, reference America, but whilst they decide not to be the case, I will make hay with that narrative.
Right, right. Tom Burwell here on the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. We've got a couple more minutes. Are we good?
Sure, go
okay.
for it.
I've been, you know, I have a pretty big audience, and I feel like I've been supportive of World Supercross. More racing in the off season is great, more things to talk about, more people, riders making money, and also absolutely, and I've been all over the world, watching motorcycle races, there's an audience for it.
Sure.
They want to see it. They want to see Supercross. So I love everything about it. And here comes the but.
Always a but.
The math doesn't math to me. Obviously, you're getting some government subsidies. And, you know, you have a few sponsors. But when you look at the totality of 50 years of Supercross and what they're bringing in, or motocross or whatever, how does this sustain itself? Obviously, any startup business is prepared to lose some money to build it, but eventually even the richest people get a little, you know, tired of it. So how do, you know, and I don't see an energy drink coming on, or I don't know if I see OEMs coming on. So how do we sustain this thing?
Yeah, first of all, I think it's really important to say that we're not going after the endemic dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I primarily said that the only way to make this work would be via energy drinks and the traditional sponsors of Dirt Biking World, then it would fall over.
Yeah.
That's why, fundamentally, the way that we have to build brand IP, IP value, digital eyeballs, etc., has to fundamentally be different so that we can speak to non-endemic partners. Yes, we are in investment phase.
Mm-hmm.
I think more so now than I could do 12 months ago, I can see a very clear pathway to break even.
Okay.
If you look at, and look, remember, this is, whilst I'm the CEO of World Supercross, I'm also the CEO of the whole co that sits above it, which has multiple sports assets. I get to see disruptor challenger sports businesses day in, day out. We don't look that much different from other mm-hmm. sports in that space. In regards to where our sort of revenue profiles look.
Yep.
Our revenues this year are over double what they were last year. We continue to grow in accordance with. I think the next 18 months are really important.
Mm-hmm.
We need to see some changes in our commercial revenue profiles, in part because last year, imagine yourself in a situation in this selling window of January to March when you're speaking to genuinely global partners
mm-hmm.
and they go, so what are we buying? And then you refer back to last year, which was a four race bridging season.
Yep.
So where we've really got ourselves ended up to, which is hey, we've got some of these great relationships based across our multi-sport assets, and what can we do in the future with them? And they say, hey, show us this year. So I'm really confident that we go into our off season
in
a pretty strong place that you'll see a very different economic profile next year. We're still a couple of years away from break even.
Oh yeah.
And that's fine, and we'll continue to invest in the process that we do so. But there is a very clear path to what that looks like. So this is, we're long term investors.
When you talk to non endemic people, Lufthansa or Siemens or whoever,
sure.
you know, what are you hearing about the sport? Because I've always, this is my thing in my sport, like, it's very depressing to me that Joe Gibbs Racing comes into our sport and, you know, they have $400 million NASCAR operation, FedEx, M&M's, everybody, and they can't get a title sponsor. And I'm just like, wait, if Joe Gibbs, they can get meetings, but if they can't get a title sponsor for Supercross and Motocross, like, I'm fucking depressed because I love the sport. So what do you hear?
Yeah, well, of course, they're only selling that against US eyeballs, so they're only competing there in
sure.
the US space.
Yep.
So whilst they are global brands, they would be global brands with American dollars. What we're seeing is some really interesting feedback on the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So simplifying consumption, which is that if I, for those of you, your listeners who don't know, I used to have a very active role as the sports profile of sports portfolio of Emirates Airline,
mm-hmm.
and the guy that signs the checks there is a guy called Boutros.
Okay.
And I use him as the example. If I brought Boutros to a dirt bike race, he would have a great time, and as he left, he would say to me, "I'm not sure what happened."
Right. I saw guys going around.
Yeah. Right. I saw guys going around. I don't know who won or what won.
Yeah.
Right. So we've got to make sure that this is really easily consumable, not only for new fans, but for what comes with new fans, mm-hmm. which is potential new partners. I think when you watch our broadcast is how do we simplify, and we're doing broadcasts differently to others. I think we've got some more steps to take in that space. And that's also why I talk about live show and how we frame live show and how it needs to be more than entertainment product. I think actually the cadence of quick races and not a lot of downtime is really important, but also making sure that doesn't become white noise. So as we move forwards, I think we're in a pretty good place with some of those conversations,
okay.
which is interested in how do we speak to, let's call it seven markets. How do you speak to seven markets and be relevant in Argentina, Canada, Australia, Asia, Europe?
Mm-hmm.
And there are a set of brands across many categories that want exactly those types of sports assets that are able to switch on enough eyeballs. And if you look at the way our distribution is currently working across all of our TV partners, we're here on free-to-air in Australia with
mm-hmm.
seven, and we are in many places around the world. We're driving those eyeballs. We're not there yet, but we are. And I come back to what you said at the very beginning, and, you know, what's the comparisons? I almost now know the GPS that we need to get to where we want to go to, so we'll continue down that pathway.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas last year, I think we were still trying to work that out.
Sure. So, it's, like you said, although it's year four or five, it's really
It's race one, six. It's race six today.
Yes, yes, exactly. So
it's race six today.
All right, anything I forgot or anything you want to say? Or, thank you for the time.
Look, thank you for the time. We love your product. We love the way that you create content. We're really appreciative of your support and RacerX's support, and we'll continue to try and build our place in this ecosystem, which is a really special place to be.
Cool. Thank you.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't take it. Don't take it.